you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, we can live from the inside out. By letting your heart matter, you'll be able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. Each week, you receive an email, that is if you've signed up for it, and you can, on the JackieWoods.org website, you will receive an email with the weekly heart energy. It used to come on Sunday, but some people didn't open their email on Sunday, so it's going to get there on Saturday morning, bright and early. So you can meditate Saturday, Sunday, and Monday on the energy of the week so that you'll be fully prepared to join us synergistically. And synergistically means that you're going to your energy of your heart and ours will be joined with the intent of coming together to form a bigger light. So be sure and meditate with us, get your email, and join us, because this is the way we become powerful, by knowing who we are on the inside so that we have a choice about what we create on the outside. Today, the energy is faith. And along with that name of an energy, a heart energy, comes a little saying. This time it says, know what is there before it is there. Now that sounds kind of like a trick thing, but it's really not. When we talk about it today, you'll begin to understand faith. Now, you're going to have your definition of faith, we'll have ours, and we're going to talk about them, bring them together so that the big picture by the end of the show will be, quote, a synergistic picture. You know, when I was, faith is one of my most favorite of all energies. Without it, we're just nothing. Without faith, we're not going to be listening to the show. If you're listening to the show, you have some faith that the heart really does matter, because that's really what faith is. Is really believing that the heart matters. Because faith is the journey to the heart. Trust is the journey from the heart into physical manifestation. But if you don't have faith, you can't have trust.
Yeah.
So faith really says the heart matters. So I was thinking about faith in my life, and I've actually had to have it tested several times. But I think the biggest time was when I had, I was raising two sons by myself. I had a full-time job, and then I was doing the work that I do now, my private practice work, my healing work. I was doing on weekends and at night, and as an aside, but it wasn't bringing in enough money to support me. However, I had a friend of mine who had an intuitive gift the same as mine, and we exchanged information on each other periodically. And he called and he said, Jackie, in 3 months you're going to be dehired. And I said, that's impossible. I mean, that's an impossibility. I worked for an insurance agency. I had increased their volume tremendously. I had trained several people. I was running a smooth office. That's not a possibility. He said, watch my language. I said, dehired, because you're creating it on another level. And we do create our own reality. And I knew that, but still it just seemed so totally unreasonable for that to happen. You know, I might quit, but to be dehired, mm-hmm. which is fired. And I said, that would never happen. Well, he said, in 3 months it's going to happen anyway, because you need to do the work you've come on this planet to do full time, which is the work I've done ever since then. And I knew that to be true. I knew that was true because that was the heart's answer. And I knew it was the heart's answer. It came through this friend of mine, but I knew it was the heart's answer. But it was still scary. And so I didn't quit. I waited until finally part of my income was a commission. that I where I got sales through real estate agents, and for their closings, I did. They had to have a homeowner. So my deal with him, it was unwritten. It was just a verbal agreement that I would go out, I would get this business, and I would get 10%, and he would get 90%. Sound fair to me. And he agreed. Well, so he brought me half of my commissions check, which was a separate check than my regular salary, and he said, this is all you're going to get this time. And I said, but that's just half of what I made. And he said, well, you're just making too much. I can't pay you as much as you're making. Now, my other job that he paid me for was like minimum wage, so, you know, it wasn't like he was paying me a huge amount. But my commissions check was pretty big. And he said, no, I'm not going to pay you. And I said, well, I think you should. I mean, I think it's a legal matter that you should. If you want to renegotiate, I can do that. But this is what we committed to, and I keep my commitments, and I expect you to. And he said, well, I'll have to think about it. And I said, well, let me know. And that was a Friday. And Saturday he called me, and he said, yeah, I'll come over right now and bring you the rest of your check, and yeah, I want you to come on in and continue working. So that happened. I was getting dressed Monday morning, and he appears at my house again, and he says, here's a 2-week severance pay. I can't afford for you to keep coming in. Well, okay, that was the dehiring. Now, during that morning, I had a real estate agent call me and say, our agency's willing to back you 100% if you'll start your own insurance company. And I said, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Now, you have to understand, I was raising 2 children. I didn't have any extra in the bank. I was barely making it. I didn't have any guarantee of a job. Now, I was doing this, what I'm doing now, part-time, but it certainly wasn't going to cover the bills. But I had faith that my heart was guiding me to do the work that I had come to do. I had that. I had the guarantee from my friend, but I also had faith. I knew it was right. It wasn't just his word. So I had a real estate agent call and say they would support me. Then I had another insurance agent call and say, will you come and work for me and do what you did for that agency? And I said, no, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. So I had another insurance agent call me and ask me to come work for them. And he said, well, you know, the grapevine has it that you're not working there anymore and that you're not willing to come in and do what you did, but would you come in part-time and train one of my people to do what you did? I said, no, I'm not supposed to be doing that anymore. Now, this happened in the morning. At this point, I had no guarantee of any income whatsoever. But I had complete faith. Now, I can't say I wasn't scared. I was scared. But I still knew. The faith was in the knowing that, okay, this is what they've trained me to do since I was born. I've had 3 spirit guides teaching me to do this. I know I'm supposed to do it. I'm really good at what I'm doing here, and I just don't have the people yet, but I know it's going to come. So by sometime that afternoon, I don't even know when in the afternoon, I checked my answering machine, and I went in and meditated. I didn't get on the phone and try to get a job or anything. I just went and meditated so I could get rid of my fear and create a bigger space for the faith. By mid-afternoon, sometime in the afternoon, I checked my answering machine, and I had several people that wanted appointments that I had never worked with before that had been referred to me. And one or two of those said, and could I bring my friend? So it was more than just one. So I figured the bare minimum, by not paying all the bills, but at least covering the bare minimum of what you have to pay, I could pay those bills. By the end of the day, I didn't go anywhere or pick up the phone, but I had complete faith that my heart was guiding me. I turned down other opportunities, and though I've had many experiences, for instance, coming up here was another big step of faith to Columbus from Atlanta, I mean, you know, Atlanta's got millions of people. In Columbus, Polk County that we live in Columbus, North Carolina, it has 20,000. You know, that was a huge leap of faith. But I knew. It's that knowing that the heart matters, knowing that the heart has a plan for you, and that if you're in alignment with that plan, you are definitely going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just hoping that it turns out and saying you have faith. It's the knowing, without a doubt.
Yeah, I like that story a lot. That's really in line with what I got in my meditation this morning. You know, I've always phrased it this way, that you said that faith was getting to the heart and trust was coming back from the heart. I always think of faith as reaching out for what you can't see yet. Mm-hmm. And then trust is when you see it, knowing that it'll actually manifest.
Mm-hmm.
But faith is that first step of just blindly reaching out when you don't even know that there's anything there, but faith tells you that there is something
mm-hmm.
there. And when I thought of it that way, the perfect story that sort of encapsulates my view of faith was after we moved up here and we were living in the barn in back of your house and trying to build our own house, we needed a well drilled for the property that, you know, provide water for the house that we were going to build. This is before the house is even built. It's just a cleared area. And one of the other people that lived on the property at that time, Jenny Smith, very bitter, sour woman, had her well drilled recently and was just had a horrible experience where she would talk about it endlessly, about how this truck pulls up and they start drilling and you've had the guys out there with the bent twigs dowsing for water, but you don't know for sure whether there's going to be water, and that truck just starts drilling and you start thinking, $50 every foot they drill, it's costing me $50. Now they're down to 100 feet, now they're down to 200 feet, how long is this going to go on? And she was just tied in knots, and her well actually did produce a lot of water. We still use it to this day. She doesn't live here anymore, but we still use that well, and it's a good well, but it's like 900 feet deep. It is a deep well. It just went on and on and on, and she described this horrible process of just dying death after death, thinking, you know, my whole life savings are going down the tube with this well, just getting longer and longer. And so when we went to drill our well, she came up to watch. You know, I think she secretly wanted to see us sweat like she had sweated. But we didn't sweat at all. I had done a lot of praying and meditating about, you know, where to put the well. And yes, the guys did get the twigs out and douse for water. They always do that. But before they even came, I went to a spot on the ground and just put an X there and told them to drill there, because the day before I had done a really long meditation and just prayed for guidance, and a picture came to me of that piece of land, and it was just like a little glowing neon spot there behind this bush. And so I just went to that spot and I said, this is where the well should be. And they checked, you know, and they're, oh, yeah, a lot of water. Of course, you know, if I had pointed to a rock, they probably would have said, oh, yeah, sure, a lot of water there. But I just went to the spot that was shown to me when I asked to be shown. And so my wife and I got some lawn chairs and we sat out there and we watched them drill, and we were having a good time. It was fun. It was like, you know, our house is finally taking shape. We haven't laid the foundation yet, but we got a well. This is awesome. And we were enjoying watching them, and I had absolute faith that I'm going to hit water, and it if it needs to be a deep well, it'll be a deep well, but it'll be a lot of water and it'll be fine. And Jenny Smith was just getting more and more bitter because we weren't sweating a drop and we didn't seem to be tied in knots by the process. And she eventually went storming off. I think our well's about 500 feet deep, which was fine. Quarter of a mile from hers. It's not like the underground terrain was all that different, but it was well within our budget. The amount of water that came out was perfect. It really worked out perfectly. And the feeling that I got when I was sitting there in that faith, just letting the well be what the well needed to be, trusting, believing, knowing that my vision of it was not guiding me off into a dead end, but just feeling that faith, the feeling I got was like when you are pounding a railroad spike or a post into the ground with a sledgehammer, and if you hit it wrong, it sends a shockwave back up your arm. But if you hit it squarely, all the force is transferred into whatever you're pounding on, and you hardly feel the blow at all in your arms. It's like, you know, you just perfectly hit it, and it doesn't feel like a jolt to you, but it sends a lot of force into whatever you're trying to drive into the ground. That's what faith felt like to me, that perfect hit where all the force was transferred forward and none of it whiplashed back on you. And that's what I heard you talking about too when you were giving your story, is that perfect feeling of I'm in the groove, this is where I need to be. Not that I'm not scared, not that things don't come up, but not feeling any whiplash from events that other people might look at and go, oh, that's terrible, you've been fired, oh my gosh. You know, but just that feel of this is where I'm supposed to be, it's perfect.
Yes. And what we have a tendency to do is to wait till a big event, like you lose your job or something, and then try to grab on faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is really that letting your heart matter every day.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we try to encourage people to do on this radio show, is to meditate daily and get a heart energy of who am I today? You know, what piece of my heart is speaking that I'm going to have faith in, I'm going to listen to, I'm going to be relaxed around, not I'm going to try to make it happen, but that I am being this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is just sort of is the keynote to our whole show here. But when we meditate, we do ask that you get quiet and relax your body, and clear your mind, clear your emotions, and then just sit in that space. In that space, you know, people think, well, if I don't have total silence, I'm not meditating. People meditate in a number of different ways. And for some people, you will have, as you get quiet, if they're troublesome thoughts, you're still in the clearing out process. But sometimes you will have a series of thoughts that come around a particular quality of your life, a subject. And that subject is a quality that we call a heart energy. For others of us, I just clear my mind and my emotions and relax my body, and then I get quiet and a picture comes to me in my right brain. So if you're more left brain, you may start one way. If you're right brain, you may start another. But we encourage you to try to develop both. For me, I get a picture, and then that picture, that right brain picture, I take to my left brain to bring understanding of how to apply it to my life. Because if I don't apply it to my life, I may have complete faith in the picture, but I won't ever develop any trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it won't have any power. So when I was meditating this morning, I saw a picture that I see many times in the winter as I look out my window. I sit in front of a window when I meditate, and I look out at the mountain. We live at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and I look out, and you know the song that says that the purple mountain's majesty,
mm-hmm.
You know our song? Well, in the winter, many times as the sun rises, comes up, I see the purple mountain majesty. Mm-hmm. It is so magnificent. And it's in the beauty and the wonder and the awe of that beauty and magnificence that I am just reinforced that there is a force beyond my little mind, beyond my little feelings, beyond my little picture. There is a force that I'm a part of. there's a force that is laying out a blueprint that is there for me. And all I have to do is get in alignment with that. Mm-hmm. And having faith in that is so easy in that moment, because I'm just, beauty is something that really touches me deeply. And to me, it's the power of nature and the beauty of it, and the knowing that that moment's coming, waiting for it to happen, and then it's briefly there and gone to something else. It's just, it just inspires me to encourage faith.
Yeah, I like the point you made about, you know, meditating in different ways, because I tried something different this time. Normally, I just relax my mind and my body, let go of any worries or frustrations, and then I'll put out there, you know, show me faith, show me dedication, whatever, and just let a picture or a feeling or a knowing come to me. But this time, I didn't try and use words at all. I just, having already thought of that story of drilling the well and being really clear on that feeling that I had when I was in faith, I just held that feeling today. I just stayed with that feeling of you know, pounding a fence post into the ground and hitting it perfectly and feeling no jolt or impact from it. And I just held that feeling and then let a picture and a knowing come to me out of that. And it was kind of cool to go about it in a different way than I normally do, because mm-hmm. I'm not a big feeling guy. That's not my first entry into any sort of heart quality. Mm-hmm. I usually go with a mental knowing, or I just straight up ask to be shown something. But this time I just held the feeling and let a picture develop out of that. And what came to me was a scene on a beach with all these little sea turtle eggs buried in the sand. They broke open, and the little turtles, you know, the mother's not around. She lays the eggs and then goes back to the sea. The little turtles pop up out of the sand, and they don't head inland. They automatically know to go down to the ocean. That's their source, their, you know, their destiny. And they just go to the ocean without being told. And it felt to me, when the more I got into that and tried to put some mental understanding around it, like that was trying to tell me that everything you need is out there. It's possible. Your needs can all be met. You don't have to be big or smart or fast or any of that. You've just got to listen to that inner guidance and go in that direction.
Yeah, maybe I should have raised baby turtles instead of kids.
It'd probably be easier, yeah.
They just went where they were supposed to go. Uh-huh. I really messed up there. Darn. Okay. It is time to talk about a product that will go along with this, because people have been saying it really helps for you to recommend things. Now, you know, we have a lot of CDs and workshops and books on the website that you can get, but it does help if you're really interested in a particular one of these heart energies. You feel like you're needing to grow it a lot because it seems a little bit smaller. You had mentioned my book, Journey to Ultimate Spirituality, and I think that's a wonderful recommendation, because it's a workbook. It helps you to clear out all of the patterns, to look at the patterns that you have that might get in the way of you letting your heart matter, letting faith be the guiding light in your life. So, yeah, that's really, everybody that's on a growth path should really get that book and work with it. I mean, I suggest you read it through first. There's a lot of reading material. But then go back and do the exercises. Mm-hmm. One by one, slowly go through it. Don't just do it like you would read a book through. Take time and let these truths soak in and see what it brings up, what patterns come up, and then work through them. And there's a lot of tools in there. It will definitely help to magnify that energy of faith to help it to grow. And until it grows, the heart's not going to matter very much, I can't talk today, very much in your life. It's really not going to be a big force, and it needs to be a big force if you're going to live from the inside out.
Yeah, like you said, faith really is sort of the cornerstone of any growth process. It's at the heart of what we talk about in every radio show is, first of all, putting that internal wisdom, that voice that guides you, that connection to creator, higher self, source, whatever you want to say it, putting that first and letting that be the first thing that you reach for in any process. And that's, to me, that's what the book Journey to Ultimate Spirituality talks mm-hmm. about is, okay, if you want to put all of that ahead of your habits and your patterns and the things you already know mentally, and you want to come from that place where you are reaching for faith, reaching for the heart first, how do you do it? And it's a whole book about how do you do just that.
Right. One of the workshops that would help would be Love is the First Cause.
Mm-hmm. I like
Love
that one
the
too.
First Cause, yeah. Because really, the heart matters. The first cause of the heart is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself, means love yourself, love others, and love God. So if that is the commandment, then the first cause or the base of all heart energies is love. So we know that our script has a foundation of love. We know that much. We can have faith in that, but then having faith in the unfolding of that love as it comes to us will bring to light these patterns that we talk about in this book that you need to get out of the way so that love filled has a bigger space. You know, in my story, when I started, I said, you know, I spent a lot of time that morning meditating to clear all the fear I had to make a bigger space for that faith to come in. I also want to take a moment for our sponsor to be acknowledged. NatureCare has all kinds of feminine hygiene products. You can get tampons, pads, liners, even wipes. Nature's Care. It's NatureCare is the world's leading organic and plant-friendly feminine hygiene brand on the market today. They make it possible for you to have a healthy choice when buying any of your feminine hygiene needs. So all you women that are careful about the labels you get to go in your food, like you don't want any harmful ingredients such as environmental pollutants, or, you know, you don't want any of the non-organic stuff. You want healthy food. You don't want all of the chemicals in it. You're careful. But have you considered the necessity for that same amount of purity with the feminine hygiene products you use each month? These products touch you in the most sensitive of places, so it's important that they be pure. Support yourself, support the planet, and the heart energy of purity by buying NatureCare products or NatureCare products. I'm not sure which way you prefer to do it, but either way, buy the product. We had some comments about a couple of our other programs, and I want to acknowledge those now. This is from Priscilla in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And she says that when she was listening to the Enthusiasm Heart Energy show, she looked up the Greek meaning, and it meant filled with God. She said, I thought that was very much in line with your discussion about it. Thanks, Priscilla. And she also had a question when we were talking on the Education Energy show. We talked about the heart energy of education, and that is a heart energy, by the way, folks. She asked what she didn't recall what qualities I was talking about for young people in the middle school that they get an education with their mind, but it's also a spiritual education time in that the heart energies of power, love, and wisdom, and I call those the Trinity energies, mm-hmm. get anchored in their heart as a flame. It's actually, if you can see energies, which I can, it looks like a little, these look like a little flames mm-hmm. that get sparked in their heart and get anchored, and they begin to be carriers of this. Up to this point, they're learning about power, love, and wisdom, and now they get to be actual carriers. And as they grow and develop those energies, then those energies actually anchor themselves all the way into the root chakra and form a threefold flame that goes all the way from the root chakra to the crown. This is how they reach that enlightenment of oneness that comes with opening of the crown. So it's just a long education process is what I was trying to say. But they also fit with today because the meaning of the word enthusiasm to be filled with God and this whole concept of educating yourself to your spirituality is what we're talking about with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say it's the bottom line of everything we talk about on this show. All right. Where did we get to, Russ?
Well, usually at this point, we talk about how we're going to apply those pictures that we've gotten in our meditation. The thing that came to me when I thought about applying that was a lady I worked on, I don't know if it was... Probably it was this morning. Maybe it was Friday. I don't know. But sometime recently, I worked on a lady who owns horses. This is horse country around here, and I get a lot of clients that are into horses, and some of them have farms. And she had a particular horse that she used to use in competitions, and she's kind of moved up and needs a better, more athletic horse. This one was a nice beginner horse. And so she wants to sell this beginner horse. And this man called her up and said, oh, you know, that horse sounds perfect for me, and sent her a big deposit. You know, can you not sell the horse for a while? I've got to get my finances together, but I think I really want this horse. And she's gone round and round and round with this guy. He's come out and seen the horse and liked it, and but every time he goes away, he'll call her back and say, "Well, you know, I just got to thinking, and you know, I really want to get into riding. I feel that's where I should be. My heart's calling me to have a horse, but you know, that horse, it's not as big as I would like." She'll say, well, you know, horse is not going to grow any at this point. It is what it is. You know, do you want the horse or not? Well, I think I do. Let me think on it a little bit. And he'll call back and say, well, you know, that horse is kind of tame. I was thinking maybe I'd want to get into jumping later. I need a fiery horse. Well, it's not the fieriest horse in the world, but most beginners don't need that, sir. Well, okay, let me think on it. And you know, he had a little spark of faith to know that his heart was calling him to get involved with a horse and learn how to be in partnership with the animal. But then he began to strangle that faith with all these pictures that he put on it. It has to be a certain height. It has to have a certain look. It has to have a certain temperament. Instead of just saying, I'm a beginner. Here's a beginner horse. This is what I'm being called to do. I should just go with it. He began to strangle that faith with all these little pictures that he was throwing on, all these subconscious wants, and saying, you know, I want to have a Ferrari, but I also want it to function as a truck. You know? It's like one thing is not going to be all your wants wrapped into one package. You've got to let go of some of those wants and just let this process unfold. And that's, I think, where we really get away from applying our faith, because a lot of us do have a voice in there that'll tell us, you know, you should move in this direction. And we'll start to follow that faith, but then all these emotional wants come up, and we try and pile them all into the same wagon, and it eventually just makes the wagon grind to a halt.
Yes. Our minds are so good and our emotions are so good at jumping in. And instead of us clearing them to make more room for the faith, mm-hmm. we let them take over. I didn't let it take over, but when I came up here and said, okay, this is the exact spot I saw in my meditation where we're supposed to build, sort of like your well. But then here comes the guy with the bulldozer that says, oh, no, ma'am, this will be solid rock. There's no way we can't do it here. And I said, I had total faith. I said, well, pamper me, try it. I'm paying for it. Try it. And he did. And sure enough, the rock started right at the edge of where it was supposed to, right exactly where I wanted the foundation to come to. But I could have gone long with him, and we let people pull us off mm-hmm. of what we really know. Yeah. So it's not only our mind that gets in the way. Now, my mind got in the way, didn't stop me, but got in the way on the same thing. I was standing there saying, well, this is the perfect spot. But then I looked and said, oh, but golly, there's no real parking here. I should build at the other end. But this was the spot I saw. But the other end has parking. This end doesn't have parking. It's on a hill. People mm-hmm. have to climb a hill. Right. This is awful. But I went with it. But my mind really tried to jump in there and give me all the why nots. And the mind only knows what it knows. So it can't know anything bigger than what it already knows. Faith takes you beyond where you already are.
Right.
So if you're going to have faith, you're going to move beyond where you are, which means you got to let go of where you are.
Yes. Good way to put it.
So, as I say, your mind can come in, their mind. Oh, people love to tell you what's not going to work. They love to go there, uh-huh. Oh, well, no, I had this, I tried that, and this bad thing happened, and this bad thing happened, and this bad thing, and you shouldn't go there. Mm-hmm. And if they don't come up with it, your mind will probably come up with it. And of course, these are all fear-based things.
Right.
But faith takes you beyond where you already are. Mm-hmm. Now, we said it knows what is there before it is there. In other words, you don't know it's there yet in your mental knowing, but in your spiritual knowing, you do know it.
Yeah.
So faith, I love faith. It's just the base of everything. And if no one listens to another show other than this one, this could change their life.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about baby steps too. And the baby steps that I really feel anyone has to take is to pick one of those attachments to, one of those things that get in the way that your mind, something you really know you ought to go for. You ought to grow a little more spiritually. But, I have people come all the time to my beginner class, my introductory class, and this happens frequently. The woman will come and she really will say, I know it's time for me to start really working on myself and building my faith and my spirituality and growing. I know that. But then she doesn't sign up for the class. And I will call and say, and so, you didn't like what we had to say, or you don't think it's a good fit? Oh, yeah, but, my husband won't be interested. And if I grow, I'll grow off and leave him.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that through these many years. That has probably been the most predominant thing I've heard from women, that they're afraid that if they grow, that they will lose their marriage. Well, that's a big loss, but we have little ones too. We have little things like, if I really start working out and getting healthy, I'm going to have to give up some of my favorite cooking recipes of desserts.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a diabetic and had had heart surgery twice. And the doctor said to my mother, you are going to have to change the way you cook. She loved to cook with bacon grease fat for seasoning, and she loved desserts, and she was a good cook. I mean, it tasted good.
Oh, yeah.
But it was not healthy for my father, and they said, you're going to have to give this up. And she said, I'm too old to change. I can't. So he died of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't change that. She couldn't go to a bigger space beyond what she already knew. So in the baby step, pick one thing where you're inside a box. Be willing to give it up and to find the energy that's wanting to move outside that box and begin to have faith that it'll unfold for you, that it'll take you to the perfect right place.
Yeah, I like in our interplay in this show that, you know, you'll usually give one side of things and I can give another side, and we can show people that it takes a lot of different viewpoints to see the full elephant, you know, and so I like presenting something different. But in this case, my idea was pretty much exactly the same as yours, that the easiest baby step that you can take is to let go of something. I remember, and I've talked about her before, I think when we did dedication, I talked about Esther Williams, the lady that was at our church when I was growing up, that had been there since before the church was called Oakhurst. She was there. As soon as they opened the doors, she was there every Sunday. And the church had gone through all sorts of upheavals, that whole area that went through white flight and everybody moved out to the suburbs, and the racial mix of the whole neighborhood changed, and then yuppies started moving in, and, you know, so the church had been through many different changes of membership, and the whole time she had been there, she was like 89 years old, and she taught my Sunday school a couple of times. They had her come in and teach, and she was a great, great speaker. Very simple. I mean, wasn't flowery, but she really had that piece of faith more than a lot of people that went to that church. And her favorite saying was, if something's troubling you, you just got to give it to God, honey. Just give it to God. Which was her piece of that letting go of control, knowing that if your heart was leading you in a certain way, if your spirit was speaking and saying go left, then you just went left and you didn't worry about whether it was hard left or three quarters left. You just let the control go and followed that voice. And she was really good at that she wouldn't stew over things. If it came up and she was worried about it, she would pray that it be resolved, and then she would just let it go, knowing that it would be. Mm-hmm. And I took that piece of advice to heart. And anytime somebody's come to me saying, you know, well, how do I build up my faith? The baby step that I always think of is pick one thing that you're stewing over, that you're trying to control, like that guy buying the horse, trying to make it the perfect horse, and just let go. Say, I'm doing the best I can in this area. I know it's going to work out. And just let go. And consciously for a week, resist worrying about it. Resist trying to control it. Resist trying to make it perfect. And see if it doesn't work out the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that, the more you'll build your faith.
Last night, my husband and I were talking, and he asked about goals and faith. And I said that, you know, goals are our choice. We get to choose the direction that we go in towards something, how we proceed. We get to choose that. But faith is that unfolding. It gives us the purpose. It is the energy making its way into our goal and through our goal. Like if we have a goal to be healthy, then if we really have faith around the energy of health, it will unfold exactly in the next step in our health journey. So faith is the end all. It is the beginning. Well, actually, I see trust as the ending. But it is definitely, without the beginning of this, we will have no love. We can't get to the first cause of the heart if we don't ever get to the heart. We will have no wisdom, because that comes from the heart. And the power manifesting into our physical life, becoming reality, is the power. So we will have no power, love, or wisdom in the real sense.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked and not let other people join in today, so I need to let a few people join in with us today, but this is a subject we both obviously love. So Bill from Orlando has written to us again, and he says, is faith kind of like the saying, you'll see it when you believe it? Can I thwart faith by not believing better things can happen? Definitely, Bill, you can thwart faith. And we do that a lot. And maybe not as blatantly as just saying, I don't believe it will happen. But we can thwart faith by just having hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes we like to substitute faith with, well, I hope it will, or I'm convincing myself that it's going to work out. And it's going to have to work out because, after all, I'm a really good person, and this would be the best thing for me. That's not faith.
Yeah, I want to go back to that point you made earlier where most people do not grab for faith until they're already falling. You know, they've... They've missed the step on the ladder. They're falling towards the earth, and they say, I have faith that I will not smash into the ground. Well, you know, at that point, you're probably going to hit the ground. You need to be using the faith before you fall off the ladder. That's when it can help you reach for the next rung and put your foot down safely. If you follow that voice inside of you from the beginning and not just when you're already tumbling and you want it to come save you.
You know, because I talk about heart energies with my students all the time, because I do believe that that's how we become more spiritual, by knowing ourselves as those qualities of spirit. They've gotten in the habit of saying, well, this is going to work because I'm holding the energy of, and naming a heart energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be focused on a heart energy is one thing, but to use that as your substitute, mental substitute for faith,
mm-hmm.
is not going to give you faith. That's that hope thing. That's the thing you're talking about if you've missed the rung and you're going to fall.
Right.
All right. We have another email from Jan in Little Rock, Arkansas. How can I tell the difference between what I want versus what I need? Do you want to start with that, Russell?
Well, I think that builds off the previous one, that wants are us hoping that everything we would like to see happen around a situation will, and so we're going to, quote, have faith that it'll turn out right. What we mean is that I want to really be in control of the situation without being in control of it. I want everything to be exactly as I would write it out, with no input from the divine plan at all, just what my selfish little self wants. But I don't want to appear controlling, so I'm going to say, well, I have faith that it will all work out. And then when there's one minor change in that secretly held picture, and what comes out is not perfectly matching what we would have wanted, then we say, oh, I've been robbed. The fate has come and slapped me upside the head. This, how could faith exist in a world so cruel? And we, you know, we really just want to control things. Having faith is having the ability to let go and let what is supposed to come for our highest benefit manifest, not what we want to have been manifest from our emotional self.
I want to take I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree with that. But I want to take another little side trip with this. You know, how do we tell what we need? I think that that's part of what's in this question, too. How do we tell what we need? Yes, we have wants, and those things are the things that our emotion has defined, but what do we call a need? Do we say, well, I need food, and I need shelter. You know, I need rest. I need healthy food. How do we define what we need? And how that sort of goes along with what I said about the goals. We do have certain basic needs. And those needs are not just wants. Those are basic needs. But those become goals. But the unfolding of that goal is the faith.
Mm-hmm.
How I make my living, which was my story in the beginning, is a goal that I do need to have income to raise my children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the faith of how I will do that, I have to have a certain amount of willingness to step outside of where I've been and have an unfolding, a growing towards that goal. If that goal, quote, is within the box of what I already know, it's not going to expand my faith very much.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean we always have to live on the edge and have everything in the unknown. But I would say if we're going to grow our faith, there always needs to be something that is growing our faith that is still an unknown for us. Because faith needs to always grow. There needs to always be an area that's unfolding outside of where we know, where it's already settled. And usually the heart's not, it'll never take us where we shouldn't go or can't go. And so it won't expand us more than we can expand. It won't take us where goes beyond our abilities. It won't ask us to do something, you know, like Job got tested in the Bible beyond what most people's faith could go. But it was the expanding outside the box for him, and it wasn't too much for him. Now, it might have been too much for somebody else at that time, but not too much for him. It tested him, but not too much. So we tend to think of faith as an unfolding that everything's going to turn out perfect and I'll get my needs met. Well, you will get your need met. But sometimes that need is to clear out some fears and some patterns or some distrust that's in the way. And that's a need.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal will make the unfolding will clear out everything that's in the way of that ultimate goal, and the heart gets to define it if we have faith.
I remember in a session that I had with you one time, I asked, do we ever get what we want? And you said, oh, yes, absolutely. As soon as what you want is in alignment with what you need, then you'll get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And faith is the unfolding of all of that.
And faith often, as it unfolds, shows you how far removed your wants are from your true needs.
Yes, that's a good point. We have an email from Sarah in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Can faith be likened to yin and trust to the yang? Where faith is more feminine, where faith is a more feminine holding energy, can I have trust without faith? Okay, I'll read that all again. I kind of stumbled on it. She's asking if the yin and the yang, that's the feminine and the masculine, do we see faith as the feminine and trust as the masculine?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good basic description. That trust for me is the masculine, you know, masculine being the doing and feminine being the feeling receiving
being,
masculine being more the giving, the doing, the manifesting. So yeah, I would see trust as the part of the cycle that helps you take what you know in your heart into practice. And faith as the part of the cycle that says, okay, now that you've done that, reach for another piece out there that you're not sure of yet. You know, faith is the one that has you reach out and bring some new abstract truth into your heart. And then trust says, okay, and you can live that. Go ahead, try it. So I see those as roughly the yin and yang, maybe not in the strict Chinese sense, but in the way I understand them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sense of being, without faith, we are not going to grow more qualities than we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to stay with the ones we have, and we may learn some more facts about them, but we are not going to grow them.
Uh-huh.
And our whole purpose of being in an incarnation is, why be on this planet and live a life if you're not going to grow who you are? So many people see life as about, you get an education, you get married, you have kids, and you make a lot of money and you retire.
Uh-huh.
Those are the main, quote, goals of probably the average person. Instead of the goal being, I'm going to discover as many qualities of my spirit as I possibly can discover and bring into my life and bring into reality. Now, wouldn't that be a different goal?
Yeah.
But if your goal is simply to get educated, to get married, to have kids, and to retire, then you'll probably reach those goals. But you will not have expanded a whole lot in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for one more. This is from Tim in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you born with hard energies, or do we start with a blank slate? Great question, Tim. You want to start, or you want me to?
I'll start on that. I think that you do have a certain collection of hard energies that you come in with, and you get a chance to grow those, and you get a chance to add ones that you didn't start out with. For instance, my wife, her brother, one of her brothers, passed away in a boating accident about 3 years ago now. And her father has a big piece of faith. He has a lot of faith and has had his whole life. And asked, he was grieving, very seriously grieving over the death of his son. Everybody in that family stuck in their grief over the loss of that brother and that son.
Still are.
And he asked, prayed, said, John, if you're up there anywhere, please give me a sign. I know that it's possible. I have the faith. And that next day, in the air over the lake, they live on a lake, over the lake, there was a rainbow that made a JK, which was his name, John Kelly. It was a perfect rainbow. Somebody, one of their next door neighbors, captured it in a picture. And it's unbelievable. I've never seen a rainbow form letters, but it did.
Have either.
JK, clear as day. And I thought, well, there you go. I mean, this man had faith, and he asked for a sign, and he got a sign. And so now he'll be able to leave his grief behind. Didn't do it. Had a sign that was unmistakable, a slap upside the head that said, fool, get on with your life. Your son is in heaven. He's fine. Everything's good. This is the way life is supposed to be. Learn to go beyond just seeing his face every day. It's not about seeing his face. He may not be here physically, but he still exists. Connect to something larger. And the man had enough faith to ask, but not enough faith to leave behind his sorrow. And he went, well, it's good to know that he's okay, but sure wish I could see him today. I feel so downtrodden. And everybody in that family is still stuck hanging on to that grief and that sorrow, and they won't move beyond it. And I think that every day we get opportunities to build on the faith that we have, or claim it if it's not something that we came in with. But whether or not we step into those opportunities is a different story.
Right. We all have the seeds of every single quality of God that there is in us. We've just forgotten a lot of those qualities. And if we live our life, we can either grow those qualities or continually forget them more. And the saddest thing is that when people forget, they become bitter in their life. They become more negative. They become more cynical. And some of the qualities that they maybe had when they were young died.
Mm-hmm.
That's really sad to me, that those qualities get less instead of grow. And the thing that makes the difference is the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is out, so I will not go on with that. Let me thank you very much for listening to Heart Matters Radio with us. we want you to join us. We want your comments. We want your questions. If I didn't get to your question today, please forgive me, and I will try to next time. Thank you so much for joining us.